Well, good morning, everybody, and glad to be here with you. We have just read our favourite verses from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to verse 5. In those verses there, we have some plural pronouns. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us. Our is a possessive pronoun, plural, correct? As I said to you earlier, I am not a grammarian. So, in verse 3, we have us and our. In verse 4, we have according as he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we, do you see? Subject and object. I better be careful or I'll be lost immediately. We should be holy and without blame before him, having marked before the horizon us to be the adoption of children. And my lesson today is this. When in the Bible are these plural pronouns, when are they to include you and me? Because quite seriously, if I read through the New Testament, I would see a lot of us and we's go and do a word search. It's amazing how many pronouns are used. And when I see we and us, well, if I'm not careful, I could say, well, that's me. And I would jump in and take certain things written as if they were about me. Remember, you and I believe with all our heart that the Word of God is given by inspiration. The Word of God, as the Apostle writes in verse 16 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine and is profitable for reproof and is profitable for correction. Although a lot of us don't like being corrected, do we? But that's what the Scriptures are for. And of course, all Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that each of us may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. All the Scripture is for us. There's that plural pronoun again, and I am including you and me when I say that. However, you know very, very well that in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, writing to the same man, this young man of the faith, says to Timothy, study earnestly, 2 Timothy 2:15, or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does that mean we have to rightly divide the word when we read it? And does that include right division of pronouns? And the answer, my friend, is yes. Now, I'm not going to teach about it. I'm going to show some scriptures which will obviously demonstrate to you initially that the we, that is the first person plural, as I check my as I check my pronoun chart here, doesn't include me. Remember the lesson here this morning? When does we include me? When do the plural pronouns include me? So we, 2 Timothy 2:15, need to take the injunction of Paul to Timothy and rightly divide, because you know what? I do not want to be ashamed. I want to be approved. I'm the type of guy that wants to have as much approval as possible. I guess there's going to be disapproval somewhere. Well, Brian, you did a great job here, but, you know, you fell short there. But all in all, do you see? That's what I'm hoping for. I know you are too. Now here's a verse of scripture that contains a plural pronoun, we. This is too ridiculous for words, but I'm going to put it in here, and I want you to find out if this we includes the you and me today. It's practically laughable, but sometimes we have to start at the ridiculous to get to the sublime, don't we? Genesis 3:2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." If there's anybody listening to this audio and in this room that thinks we includes me, then basically, you need help. I don't know how to say it any other way. If there is a plural pronoun, isn't that right? We. But the we, you know, it's a pronoun. It stands for somebody or something. And the we included Adam and Eve, full stop, nobody else. You see? That's the we of that verse of scripture. And everyone is so obvious, we don't bother. Okay, well now, I'm going to take you to one a little bit more complex, perhaps. So, okay, I've got your thinking caps on. And we're going to go to the Psalms. Now, you be careful with this one. It's a tricky one, so be careful. We're going to Psalm 80, verse 7. And it says this. Now, we're taking things out of our out of context. That's why it's difficult. Psalm 80, verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Us, we. Easy question. Does that include me, or you, or I, since I and me are the same person? Subject and object. Oh dear, I'm going to leave the grammar behind here. Of course it doesn't. You see, the next verse says this. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You see, verse 1 of the psalm says this. Look, friends, it's so simple, isn't it? Psalm 80, verse 1. O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you dwelling between the cherubs, shine forth. Oh, I see. So in verse 7, when it says, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine, the psalmist is talking about the nation of Israel, he being one of them. Do you see? Asaph. And it's the we and us which has nothing to do with you and me today. Now, someone might be offended and say, oh, but we shall be saved. Do you see how an allegorical and a spiritual approach to Bible study came about? You know, it came about because people saw plural pronouns. And instead of rightly dividing, instead of looking at a context to see who the we is, they said, well, yeah, that's about Israel, but we shall be saved, and there's one true church, and Israel was just a picture anyway, and all of a sudden, the Christian community is in the appalling and devastating mess it's in today. Do you know, the other day I thought I'd pop through a few Pal Talk rooms and listen. Yes, I shut my big mouth and I talk a lot and teach a lot, you know me. And I sat and listened, and I tell you what, friends, it was pretty sad. On Friday night on Pal Talk, there were 12 possibly 14 messianic rooms. And in one of those messianic rooms, a teacher, the Lion of Judah or somebody like that, was responding to an interjection by a Christian who said, Christ is divine. And the leader said, show me a verse about that. And the roomie posted John 17. I don't know what verse. And you know what the guy said? Don't you give me that New Testament. You show me that from the Tanakh. And what do you think about that? I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The Messianics go for the Tanakh and Moses and the law and are considering that one anyway, the New Testament, of little consequence. That's one division of Christianity. On Saturday, a Messianic room was on the top of the Pal Talk list with over 108 people sitting in the room. Look at us today, right dividers. We must be wrong. We've only got, what, five with us today and a few that will listen to the audio. Anyway, I can't get sidetracked. Let me go to the book of Acts for some more pronouns, and I want you to think. When we read the Bible, friends, God didn't ask us to switch off and, you know, give him all praise and thanks and not be interested and careful about what we read. He said, be diligent, study, prove. Acts 2, 32. God raised up this Jesus of which we are all are witnesses. Okay, another ridiculous one, isn't it? Does that we include me? Of course it doesn't. The witnesses... The we doesn't include me, does it? All right then. If it does include the we in that verse, here's a tricky one. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, you see, I have to refer to my notes again, them. That's got to be third person plural pronoun representing somebody. Who's the them? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. You see, what's the first word in that? Does that you include me? Type your answer in, please. Jews. Remember, Carolyn, in Acts chapter 2, there were Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven, because it was the, you know, under the law, Deuteronomy 16:16, the Jews were obliged to attend three feasts, and weeks was one of them. Okay, now, g'day, mate. It's good to see you too. I've forgotten your name, and I do remember you, and it's good to see you. So, when we look at Acts 2:38, let's get something right. The pronouns help us. Ah, yes. Peter said to them, okay, so the first thing we have to work out is who are the them. Once we work out them, then we are not going to take this verse and preach it to anybody else today, are we? So we start with the first pronoun. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Can you see them? You. Does the you, which is plural as well as singular, which is why, as you know, I now speak Confederate, in a Confederate tongue. I now say all y'all. My brother called me from Australia and he said, you know what? He said, you're starting to speak like a Yankee. I said, you wash your mouth. I said, I live in the South. I'm a Confederate. So you see, them, when we work out who the them is, then we know who Peter is talking to when he says, repent and be baptized in water, I believe, every one of you. in the name of Jesus Christ to remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, does that include you today? If it does, you have to be one of the them that Peter was talking to. How many Christians who have never bothered to work out who the them are of Acts 2:38 and take this verse and preach it to people today? Now, that's very important, isn't it? Do you see what being diligent in the Word of God means? Oh, they certainly do. Look what Peter said. He said, be baptized, every one of you. Well, you's got to include me, hasn't it? There's the problem. Now, I do appreciate that this is a bit of a, you know, in some points, a lesson that is obvious to some. But it's also a subtle trap. A subtle trap. Now, you know I'm going to get a little tougher. So you better put your thinking caps on, get another cup of coffee, because I'm going to give you some other verses in a minute. Yes, save yourselves. Good one. Save yourselves. That's the next verse, isn't it? Verse 40. Be saved from this perverse generation. Yep, there it is in my thing. Be saved from this perverse. Well, we could not possibly be saved from that perverse generation, because that perverse generation was the one, do you see, which were crucified Christ. Wonderful parallel, isn't it? Back in the Old Testament, when Israel were delivered out of Egypt, there was a generation with among whom God was not pleased, 1 Corinthians 10, and they all perished. And guess what? There was a generation at Passover in the New Testament, and they were going to perish. That's why Peter said to the Jews. So now, do you feel more comfortable with this verse now? When someone throws this verse at you, are you more comfortable now? Because instead of starting with you be baptized, you start with them. Pronouns. When does we include me? Okay, watch out. Now we're getting tricky. We're going to come to Acts chapter 14. Wonderful verse. I think we're in the book of Acts. I hope so. One of my favorite verses. Well, we'll start from verse 21. Paul was treated very violently in Lystra and Derbe, and they stoned Paul. So they got out of Lystra and Derbe, and preaching the gospel to that city, and having made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, calling on them, watch out, there's a plural pronoun, to continue in the faith, and that through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. Okay, does that we include me? Does that we include you? Of course, it'll immediately raise a lot of complicated... Yep, absolutely, that's not me. But you see what I'm saying? Christians will open the Bible, see we, and think, oh, we. Oh, praise God, that's me. I'm in a we. No, you're not. This is what right division is all about. The trouble with Christianity, as you know, they have made the false assumption that Israel was cast aside at the cross, or that Pentecost, and Acts is all about the church, which is his body. Because Israel is a church, isn't it? A called out company. Be very careful. Never say Israel and the church, will you? Never say the one true church, will you? Because it is Israel, the church, and his body, the church. And the one true church is one of those appalling transference doctrine which says, the true church replaces the typical one. Be real careful about one true church, won't you? So, the Bible says we must enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. The "we" does occur in even the King James Version, Acts 14:22, and you'll see it. Here's the King James: "them" and "we." Now, you and I are very aware that this is not me or you. Now, I won't get sidetracked into the tribulation and pre-tribs, post-tribs, and all the theories that are floating out around there. I just wanted you to appreciate that "we" in Acts 14:22 does not include you. But you can imagine some Christians saying, "Oh, Paul confirmed the souls of the disciples. I'm a disciple. Therefore, the "we" must include me." No, wrong reasoning, not right division. Totally taking something without respect to its context. And a context, remember, is not just the passage of Scripture that we're looking at. There is a setting. Now it's getting tougher. In the book of Romans, now I could go to a lot of passages in Romans, but I basically want to do this one. You know, there are some right dividers who think that Paul was given a progressive revelation. Okay? Well, that means that they would have to either one of two things. When they see Romans 15:4, they have to include themselves in the "we," or they have to speak about somebody else as being the "we," but then they have a problem because "we" includes Paul when he wrote Romans 15 verse 4. And this is what Paul said: "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning." So I think we can say that the scriptures here Paul is writing about are the Old Testament scriptures, which, as you ought to know, Paul quotes over 70 times in the book of Romans. Can you believe that? Romans is, by all points of agreement, the last he wrote in the Acts period. Then why is he quoting the Old Testament 70 times? If he is supposed to be, you see, increasing the truth of Ephesians, well, he's got a problem, because he said, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning." There's that pronoun, ours. That includes Paul, remember. So that we, there it is, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Does the "our" and the "we" of Romans 15:4 include you and me? And I can tell you right now, friends, that the hope of Ephesians and Colossians cannot be found in the Old Testament scriptures. That the "we" of Romans 15:4 does not include me, or you for that matter. It's getting tough, isn't it? It's going to get tougher. Do you see, friends? There are some who criticize us Acts 28ers because we chop and throw bits of Paul out and all this stuff. But the ones who level the most criticism actually do the same by saying there are parts in Paul that are not about us because he was still talking to somebody else. To me, that's a bit of a, you know, a hypocritical criticism, but I wouldn't use that when I'm talking to them. But you can't accuse somebody of doing something you do yourself, can you? Really? I mean, that's nonsense. Okay, I'm going to go to another passage of scripture written by Paul in the Acts period. And I want to ask you the question, are you in this verse? 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we, there it is, first person plural pronoun, we must represent somebody. We shall judge angels? It says we. Who are the we? Is the we in 1 Corinthians 6:3 me? Okay. Well, I don't think it is either. It's not me. That's the point, isn't it? It's not me. It is the believers of that time. Paul and the Corinthians, the believers of that time, were going to judge angels. But you know that the dispensation changed, didn't it? They. When we read that now, we have to think, ah, yes, they. Because that we doesn't include me. I'm going to show you another one from Corinthians. It's a classic. It's a classic. And you see, what I'm doing is picking verses that sometimes we just read over a bit. 9. Look out, here comes we, everybody. Here comes a we. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Do you know 1 Corinthians 13 is in a context of supernatural gifts? They had the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, every one of them had a supernatural gift. Paul is writing about partial knowledge, partial prophecy. Do you see? It's amazing, isn't it? The we of 1 Corinthians 13:9, in my opinion, does not include me. It includes Paul and the Corinthians and the believers back in the Acts period. And I can't take something of a previous dispensation and go back and put me in it, just as much as I cannot go back to the Garden of Eden with Eve and Satan and put me when Eve said we. Oh, sounded all so poetical. I should make a song about that. Here's another one written in the Acts period. I want to ask you, is this you? Here comes you again. I think I'm going to have to do the southern drawl here. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you all. Or should that be all y'all? I don't know. I think some of the northern southerners say y'all all. For I am jealous over all y'all. See, it's plural. With godly jealousy. For I have espoused all y'all to one man to present you all as a pure virgin to Christ. Are you in that you all of 2 Corinthians 11:2? If you're a chaste virgin, espoused by Paul to Christ, then that would make me or you bisexual. Because in Ephesians, we are one new man. We are the church which is his body. The goal of the gifts of Ephesians, which have no supernatural in them, is the goal to a perfect husband. And the word in Ephesians for husband is the word man here in 2 Corinthians 11:2. Yes, the thought of that. Yes, he did preach to present every man perfect in Christ. And to be perfect doesn't mean to be changed from a virgin to a man. The perfection has to do with seeing the difference between what the believers were in the Acts period and what they were by God's change after the Acts period. Now, we've already seen, yes, mature. I'm going to go to Galatians. Wow, look out, stand by. You know, Romans and Galatians, as you know, those great letters about justification by faith. Now, in Romans chapter 12, Paul refers to the supernatural gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul refers to the supernatural gifts. In Romans, Paul says the hope is found in the Old Testament scriptures. In Corinthians, he calls the believers virgins. In Galatians chapter 3, we still have the supernatural gifts. Have a look at this verse. Here comes all y'all again. Now, are you included in this plural pronoun y'all? Galatians 3:5. Then he's supplying the Spirit to all y'all and working powerful works in all y'all, plural. Is it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you in that? Yes or no? Because if you are, then where are the Spirit? Where are the working of powerful works? Of course, there are some people that say that they faded out of Paul. What absolute nonsense. Go and read Acts 28. I don't think when a man wipes out disease on an entire island and shakes a viper off into the fire that the powerful works of his apostleship and the personal gifts that he had by the Spirit had faded at all to you. You and I are not in Galatians 3:5. But we can see you in it, can't we? I'm going to ask you another question about Galatians chapter 3, because you see the pronouns. Is this me? Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Oh, I'm picking and choosing, aren't I? But that's making you think, right? Does this verse of Scripture, is this verse of Scripture about you? Galatians 3:14, verse 13 saying, cursed is everyone having hanged on a tree. Christ was the curse of the law, so that, in order that the blessing of Abraham might be to the Gentiles, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What Spirit in Galatians 3? Supernatural gifts. Don't give me this stuff, oh, I've got the Spirit of Christ in me, when the context is about supernatural gifts and the powerful workings thereof. Have you got the Spirit of the blessing of Abraham? You might be justified by faith, found in Galatians 3, but we don't have this. This we is not me. Oh, but it was written by Paul. Well, you better start explaining it away then, friends, because you don't have it. Oh, it faded away, etc., etc., etc. I'm going to stay in Galatians 3. Here comes another we or you plural. Does it include you or me? Galatians 3:29, the verse which everyone leaves out. Everybody leaves this verse out when they're explaining Galatians 3:28. So we're going to leave Galatians 3:28 out, because verse 29 is the glorious conclusion of verse 28, but we're going to leave verse 28 out. Here we go. I'm going to use my southern drawl again. Galatians 3:29. And if all y'all are Christ's, then all y'all are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise by covenant that God gave to Abraham. Is this me? Is this you? See, that really, it's just a simple question, isn't it? Am I Abraham's seed? and heirs according to the promise that God gave Abraham, and the blessings that were given to these people, the all-yalls of this verse, included supernatural gifts. Isn't it interesting that supernatural gifts were given to Israel on the earth? Now they're Abraham's blessing for Gentiles as well as Jews, and the inheritance is on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? Now do you see why there's no supernatural in Ephesians and Colossians? No supernatural gifts? Because it's not the earth. Different place, different blessings, but that's another story, isn't it? Now, I'm staying in Galatians because, you know, I'm asking the questions, friends. I'm asking the questions, and all we want is for you to think about these. I want you to think about these pronouns, these plural pronouns. When does me include we? Or us include me and you? Us, there you go, first person plural pronoun. But the Jerusalem from above is free. Who is the mother of us all, y'all? Does that include you? Well, that's for you to really think about, but let me tell you, that ain't us, because the Jerusalem, you see, Paul had told the Corinthians that they were a chaste virgin, right? I want to show you something fascinating. A lot of Christians talk about the church, which is the bride. The church is the bride. Did you know that that's not true in Scripture? The called out company of the Acts period were virgins, but of course the New Jerusalem was the bride. Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. When you speak about Christ a husband, then you think about the New Jerusalem. When you think about Christ a bridegroom, that's before marriage, then you think of virgins. Virgins in Matthew 25 went out to meet the bridegroom. The people of the Acts period in 1 Thessalonians 4 were virgins, and guess what they did in 1 Thessalonians 4? They were caught up to the clouds to meet, not the head of the church, which is his body, the bridegroom. Now, this also comes out, doesn't it? In verse 9 of Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem is, of course, do you see, the bride, the Lamb's wife. Virgins, a bride, can never be gradually and progressively changed to a male. So back to Galatians 4:26. Come back here now. The Jerusalem from above is free, who is the mother of us all. Abraham was their father in the Acts period, and Jerusalem was their mother. What a lovely family. Are you part of that family? Oh, well, it was written by Paul and it's in the New Testament. Ah, but we have to rightly divide Paul, don't we? So, there is an all that has nothing to do with you and me. Now, as you know, all those people in the room, I'm giving a lesson, so hold your questions and chats till at the conclusion. Thank you. Staying in Galatians, have a look at this one. Remember, what did Paul say in Galatians chapter 3? He said that if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, right? Well, have a look at this verse. Galatians 4:28. But brothers, we, there's that we again, like Isaac, are children of promise. Remember the promise in chapter 3? Is that you and me? Are you a child of promise like Isaac? I tell you what, friends, now it's getting tough, isn't it? We are not children of promise. We are not the seed of Abraham today. They were when Paul wrote Galatians. But that's when Israel still stood. Romans 11, God hasn't cast away his people. Romans 10, 21, all day long I've stretched forth mine hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's when the Gentiles in the Acts period were saved to provoke Israel to jealousy. Wild olives graft into the olive tree. You know, that's when the Gentiles were saved from prophecy that spoke of Israel's restoration. Did you know that? When James quoted Amos in Acts 15, Amos is a context or a subject passage about Israel's restoration. Gentiles saved for Israel to be restored. When Paul turned to the Gentiles in Acts 13, he quoted Isaiah, go look it up, which speaks about Israel being restored and gathered. Saving Gentiles in Acts 13 was nothing about the body of Christ. It was about Israel being restored. Now the Gentiles, when Paul wrote Galatians, were the seed of Abraham, and look how consistent Paul is. In Galatians 4, the next chapter, we, Paul, and the Gentiles, were children of promise. That we don't include me, friends. So why don't we come to verse 31 and have a look. In the same chapter of Galatians, then, brothers, we are not children of a slave woman, but of a free woman. The Jews and Gentiles were children of the new covenant. Do you see? Remember the analogy of the covenants in the chapter? The Jerusalem above Sarah, the Jerusalem below in bondage, Hagar, etc., etc. Are you the children? You a child of the free woman? I don't think so. Now I'm coming back to Romans, because, you know, Romans is one of the, you know, it's one of the most important books to study in Paul. And Romans, most, I think of them all, is probably the one which most clearly helps us to see the differences in the Apostle Paul. I'm going to ask you a question about the we again. Romans 9:21. I'm jumping in the middle of Paul's expose about election. You can go and read. No, Romans 9:21. Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel to honour and another to dishonour? By the way, the word lump only occurs in Romans 9:21 and Romans 11. Forgot the verse. You'll have to look it up. So Romans 9 and 11 are linked by lump. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, I'm going to put my own smileys in, my admins are just not here today. Ah, they're probably sleeping in. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? I'm not going to suggest who they are in this context. But I don't think it's all the unregenerate pygmies in the Amazon basin. Next verse, Romans 9:23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared. Two glory. One glorious group, one unglorious group. Of whom he also called. not only us, watch out. Okay, here comes plural pronouns again. Not only us of Jews. Now, I'm telling you right now, friends, the us of Jews includes Paul. You know that, don't you? When he wrote that, he said us. That's first person. He includes himself as one of those vessels of mercy in Romans chapter 9, but also of the Gentiles or nations. Jews and Gentiles in Paul in Romans 9 were vessels of mercy. What were they? Next verse. Now, does this us include you and me? Be careful. Let's read the next verse before we answer. As he also says in Hosea, I will call these, those, not my people, my people, and those not beloved, beloved. Those. Another pronoun, do you see? Third person plural, I think, whatever case it is, I don't know. Now, do you notice in verse 24 the word call, whom he also called? A church is a calling. In the apostle writing under inspiration uses that word call in Romans 9:25. I will call those. Now, the Gentiles of Romans 9 are the called, if prophecy, of Hosea. So does the us in verse 24 include you as a Gentile when Paul wrote this book? Now you're beginning to appreciate that Romans 9 does not include me, even though there's a plural pronoun. 9:26. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. See all the plural pronouns? This was written by Paul in the Act period. Now, I will not find the Apostle Paul writing in Romans anywhere about the church, which is his body, which is not an elect remnant called remnant of prophecy. You read through Romans and show me the words, the church which is his body. And you know why? Because the Jews and Gentiles, including Paul of Romans, were the remnant of Hosea and Isaiah. Oh, I better quote Romans 9:27. Israel also, Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel is as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Did you know the remnant occurs in Romans chapter 10, and I'm nearly finished. Here's a verse, or two verses. Look at this. There's no difference. Romans 10:12. There's no difference. Look at it. Mark this in your Bible. There is no difference both of Jew and of Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. He called them, they called on him. Jew and Gentile, there's no difference. There you go. That's got to be the church which is his body, right? Wrong. Look at the next verse. For verse 13 says, for everyone, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever gone back and read Joel 2:32? Here is the no difference of Romans 10 in Joel 2:32. Paul quotes Joel 2. And it shall be whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For salvation shall be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Jehovah has said, and in the remnant whom Jehovah shall call. Paul speaks of Jews and Gentiles being a remnant in Romans 9. He refers to Joel and a remnant in Romans chapter 10. And here's our last verse. Here's our last verse, friends, for this morning. All two verses. I always tell slight fibs, don't I? Elijah said, Lord, they killed your prophets and dug down your altars, and I am left alone and they seek my life. Romans 11:3. But what does the divine answer say to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, also in this present time, a remnant, when Paul wrote Romans, in the Acts period, a remnant according to the election of grace has come into being. And that's what Romans 9 is all about. Election. Esau, Jacob, election. Vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy, election. Chapter 10, the remnant in Joel. The remnant of prophecy in chapter 9, and it's the same remnant in Romans 11. Are you in chapter 9 now of Romans, do you see? Are you the us of Romans 9? Are you part of the called company of the book of Romans? Because Paul says, whom he also called, not only us of the Jews, but those of the nations? And the answer is no. Now, isn't it wonderful that we are beginning to see differences? Praise God for that. And we won't get trapped up on the plural pronouns. So let's go back to Ephesians, which was written after the book of Acts closed, and we find now the pronouns. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us today, after Israel were put aside and the remnant of Romans was put aside, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and that doesn't mean supernatural gifts, in the heavenlies in Christ. According as he chose us, yes, the ones Paul was writing to, and you and me today, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having adopted or predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Friends, praise God if you know these things. That is us. Amen. And may we continue to study these things, to rightly divide Paul, and to see the differences in him, and rejoice and make these things clear to those God brings into our sphere of influence. Thank you, Father, for this morning, the fellowship and the sharing. We bless you through Christ our Lord. For the us of Ephesians chapter 1, we praise you and bless you for all things. Amen.